Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 14th chapter of the gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. This is a continuation of his teachings in the Upper Room Discourses. Last week we heard his comments about, you know, do not let your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. He goes and prepares a place and comes back and leads that he is the way, the truth, the life. Continues on. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise you, O Christ. Please be seated. Over the years, you meet all kinds of people. One colleague of mine, mentor of mine, commented about how, you know, in a small town and rural setting, there was this one family that kind of, you know, owned half the town kind of thing. And this one man, he was, you know, found out he was terminal. He was going to die. And he called him in and called in the Catholic priest and his childhood buddy in. And he called them all into his office one day. And he said, you know, I've had very little, you know, want or respect for the church. I just don't trust you at all. But I'm going to give you one chance to show me that I can trust you. Because I want to see and show the world that I can take it with me. So I'm going to give the priest, the pastor, and his buddy $100,000 in cash with the request, the requirement, that they must put that envelope in my casket before my burial. Can you do that? Sure. A couple months later, the man does indeed die, and during his, you know, visitation service, the town noticed the fact that the priest went up and spent some time with the coffin, and so did the minister, the town minister, and so did his friend. After the funeral was all done, the body was in the ground and everything else like that, the three of them were talking, and the priest said, I am just eating myself up. I just have to confess this. I can't believe putting that much money into the ground, it's a waste. And we're helping so many people with so many different needs, so I took $50,000 of it out for our poor fund. My friend was like, yeah, our roof started to leak badly, and I took $25,000 of it out to fix the roof. And the buddy was looking at these two, and he goes, see what I mean? This is why he could not trust you. None of you actually lived up to your bargain. I personally put in a personal check for $100,000 in that casket, and you guys blew it. Trust. Trust is a tough thing, isn't it? It seems like it takes, you know, forever to build and a moment to blow up. Trust. Nowadays, Charles Schwab is running these commercials using an old term that we normally don't hear anymore about their independent money managers. Fiduciary. You ever hear that word? Fiduciary. Oftentimes we use the word trustee instead. Same thing. But fiduciary is one of these old words that goes a long way back. Case in point, for all of us who are, you know, for those of you who are raised and pounded into your head over the years, Lutheran theology, sola fide, faith alone. Any Marines? Semper Fi, which means always faithful. Faith, trust. Very important things, but sometimes they mean very different things, don't they? Could you have faith in something and still not trust? I love looking at my darling wife with big wide eyes and go, trust me. And she's like, I know you. You can probably flesh out the rest of the conversation from there. But faith is related to trust. But trust also is kind of like, here's a trust. Here is your inheritance. Jesus, in this lesson, is giving us his trust in a couple of different ways. This farewell discourse is kind of like his last will and testimony to the disciples. He is telling them what they are to do, what they're to be about. Way, truth, life. And he is giving them in trust the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the other words we sometimes use for inheritance is will, right? This is also his will of a sort. But also, it is a reminder, and what this Advocate is about is to remind us of God's will, way, truth, and life. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Advocate is called to come and be a part of us, to advocate, to comfort, the paraclete, the Greek word that's translated this way. It means a couple of different things. And so we're dealing with this, what do we do now? What do we do with God's will, Jesus' will? What do we do with Jesus' trust? First and foremost, do you realize that you have it? And yes, I'm turning the phrase here. One of the most important things to learn about the experience of God on earth in Jesus Christ is God's trust in us. Pastor, that's insane. What happened to him the next day? Well, like in the conversations with my wife, trust us. I know you. He knew what was going to happen. But there's still trust. Why? That is God. Case in point, think about this. The Son of God did not come down fully formed. The Son of God was the product of an unmarried teenage girl who had gave birth in a stable. For anybody here, moms and others, who had to hold a brand new infant, how self-sufficient are infants? How self-sufficient are some 30 and 40-year-olds? Eventually, I told my dad I'll eventually grow up. I missed my goal of 50, sorry. But how much trust does a small child have to have to exist? Think of that trust that was placed in your hands. There's a reason why there's a phrase that goes, every birth of a new child is a reminder that God has not lost his faith in humanity. That God willingly put God's self in that space. Yes. Did God know what was going to happen? Yes. Did God still trust us? Yes. Why do you think we need an advocate, though? Why do we need the support? Why do we need the help? Because, let's face it, when Jesus is telling people, here's the commandment, love one another. When Jesus is telling us, this is my way, my truth, my life, and I am leaving you, but I am not leaving you orphaned. He knows we still need adult supervision. But still the trust, because in the verses before this and the verses after, Jesus talks about the fact that truly I tell you, greater things than I, you will do. Anything you ask of me, I will do because it was asked in my name. You see the level of trust that's in there? But that level of trust is there so we can fulfill God's will. That there is new life, there is hope, there is the capacity to do something crazy. And that might be to let go of the little idols and gods that we make in our own image. The little pedestals we create and put God on and go, yep, that's God. Because it's nice and there and contained. You can't use words like that in here. This is a church. And you go and say it in the parking lot. I guess you're out of reach of the pedestal. You can do whatever you want someplace else, but think God's something. Isn't that what Paul's trying to tell the Athenians? No, God is in and around all of us. The God, the one who created the world, is here. Not just in a temple. But that's that part of that trust that we have to return with. Do we trust that God is God and we're not? Do we trust in God's way, truth, and life are our own? Does that mean do we allow God to not just be a bigger, better, kinder version of us? That God is not just the original Marvel superhero? And that we listen and not just think he's going to take care of it. We follow. That we're a part of this will. This will for heaven and earth. Because he trusts us. He trusts us with himself. He trusts us with his message. He trusts us with love. But let's face it, he knows us. So what does that mean? We're not asked to do anything we haven't already been given what we need to do. We're asked to forgive because we've been forgiven. We're asked to love because we've already been loved. We're asked to give, to rise again in newness of life and allow that for others because that gift is ours. It's already been there. It's already handed to us. It's been entrusted to us to fulfill God's will, to let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This little light of mine, where's that light originally from? God will be with us to the end of the age. And so we're blessed with these things, entrusted with these things, and called to follow this way, this truth, and this life, that we need that comforter. Because we've got to, we just say, okay, well, here, love one another. We all know that's nice and easy, right? Just love. And there are criticisms going, oh, yeah, love, nice, soft, ushy-gushy, yeah. Normally, it just means, no, you really don't love them. We have this narrowly defined space of love. Oh, and you know, in other versions, it's love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, that person next to me? That person close to me? Well, let's face it, sometimes the people closest to you are driving nuts the most. You know, when they're playing their heavy music at 2 in the morning, or their dogs wake up at 5 in the morning, all 8 of them. Or any number of other things. But here's Paul proclaiming in Athens something that's true for all of us and why we need a comforter and advocate, because our neighbor isn't just a geographical term, it's an ethical and moral orientation. And just in case we go, well, neighbor then just means the people we like, then Jesus goes and adds to that and goes, no, you got to love your enemies too. Paul would go from persecutor to promoter, and one of the things he'd say is, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. An advocate, comforter. When you can't love your neighbor, you can't love your enemy, you can't love yourself, who do you think is making it possible? You can do all things through him. But brothers and sisters, do we accept that trust? Do we accept that gift? Do we accept that will? So we say, your kingdom come, your will be done. When we say amen, which means it will be so, or in Star Wars term, this is the way, that we're a part of it. And that we trust that everything God has asked us to do, we can do. So just in case you doubt me, let me remind you again. And remember the promises God gave you in your baptism. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. You're part of the family you inherit. The cross of Christ reminds you that there is always new life and the ability to rise again because it was given and marked on you and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, you're wrapped up in the ultimate comforter. So remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.